Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for a beginning of the week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. What a time of the church year. We're approaching the celebration of the Lord's incarnation, celebrating Christmas, coming up at the end of this week. This week, I want to take a hold of some of the readings the church gives us to meditate on, to help us prepare for that, as well as I wanted to present throughout the week different perspectives of what the recent leaders in the church are saying about the moment and the time that we're living in, so that we can read the signs of the times, understand what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we can make the most of the time. Today's reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, is the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel came to Our Lady and revealed the Father's plan and purpose and the key and the central role she will play in participating in God's redemption, the Lord's redemption of the world. I'll read the whole passage and then come back and just take parts of it that we can take to heart today and hopefully encourage us and build us up, fill us with hope and confidence and strength at a time when we need it so badly. So this really is a season of light. It's the season of hope. And we have hope not just because of the circumstances around us. We have hope not just because we might feel or not feel at a particular time, but we have hope because we're standing on a sure rock. We're standing on the Lord Jesus Christ himself, living in him who is the Lord, who is the light of the world, the salt of the earth. He is the light that dispels all darkness. There's that beautiful passage in John chapter 1 that we will take up next week, where it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, this is the season of light. That's why we have the Christmas lights, and we're celebrating. It reminds us of the light that shines in the darkness. And we know that that light is the Lord himself. But John in the gospel says that the life of Christ is the light. So the light that's shining is the eternal life that's in Jesus. It's the life of God being united to human flesh in the person of Christ. It's Jesus. It's that divine life. It's that eternal life that death itself could not hold down. And it's that life being united to human flesh in Jesus that is a hope for us, because he gives us a share in his very life, the life that raised him from the dead and the life that swallowed up death in victory and dispelled the darkness. Humanity can rejoice. Yes, we can rejoice and have great joy. These are tidings of great joy, truly are coming to the life of the church throughout history now in the telling of the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, enabling it through the grace and the work of the church for human beings to enter into relationship with God the Father in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son, by being able in baptism to receive the life that's in him. And we can be born again and become children of God, and we become partakers of the divine nature, as St. Peter says. So there's much to rejoice in. And so our hope is a sure rock, and it doesn't depend upon the circumstances of life. It depends upon a person, upon the fact of what he's accomplished, and the fact of what he's given to us. So here's the reading. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done unto me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is a extraordinarily critical moment in the history of salvation. The angel Gabriel comes, the messenger. You know, angels are messengers from heaven. The angel comes to Mary and reveals to her in his declaration not only God's purpose, but God's understanding of who she is. He declares to her who she is in the Lord and what God himself has accomplished in her for the sake of the salvation of the world. Mary is the first disciple, the first to radically say yes to this plan of salvation that's coming to humanity through the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the only Savior of the world. But Mary is the model for us who, as she cooperates with God's plan of salvation. That's what a disciple is. A disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, is someone who says yes to God's revelation about what he's doing and what he wants to do in and through every single one of us as we participate in his redemptive work and the work of salvation in human history. So the angel begins and says, "Hail, full of grace." Grace, another word for grace is gift, God's mercy, God's power made manifest. She's filled with the work of God and the grace and the gift of God for her and for the salvation of the world. We celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception just a couple of weeks ago, where we celebrated the fact of what God has done applying to the life of Mary at her conception, the saving work of her son Jesus, applying his power, his grace to her life so she would not be subject to the stain of original sin, and that she would be a proper vessel for the Holy One. As he's described here later, he will be called holy, the Son of God, and there will be no participation in his conception, in his life with fallen human nature. He's the Son of God. He's the sinless one. And by his power, the work of the enemy that Mary is protected from. So the angel says, you're full of grace. You're full of God's work in you. This is important for us to see. Mary certainly is the first disciple, the most uniquely united, blessed person, human being, to Jesus. She's the one who literally will bear him in her womb. The very blood of Mary flows through his veins. So she clearly has an entirely unique relationship with Jesus. But it's important for us to see the church is not saying that because of that, somehow Mary's the Savior. She's not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior because he's the Son of God. Mary's a creature, extraordinarily blessed and called and anointed. But she's not God. She's not divine. Only God can save us, and he saves us in his Son. But he does it with her cooperation and the cooperation of all his people. He dignifies us, and he fundamentally dignified her in her free yes. Where Eve said no, Mary says yes. So hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That's why she's such a unique instrument in the work of salvation, because the Lord is with her and is making it possible. But she was greatly troubled because she didn't understand. Why? Because she knows she's a human being and she's humble, and she doesn't see the full work of God in her life yet. So then the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, because she was troubled. That's what it means. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. God's favor, God's blessing is upon you. And the favor of God in the giving of his Son and his life, passion, death, and resurrection and ascension into glory and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, his favor is on all those who say yes to him. As John the Apostle said, he gave us power to become children of God. There's no higher reality that any human being can enter into in this world. There's nothing more significant, more profound, more eternal, more lasting, more glorious than to have found this favor in the eyes of God. God's favor comes upon us in our baptism when we're born again by water and the Spirit, and we become children of God, heirs to what belongs to Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. The reading continues, behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, Yeshua. He's the one who saves. He's God with us. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. So the messianic anticipation of the people of Israel, the coming of the Messiah, who would ultimately free the people of Israel forever, Jesus is the one. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. We're welcoming and celebrating, friends, in this season, the anticipation, as we remember the reality of the Lord's incarnation. We welcome a king that will never be dethroned, a kingdom that will rule forever, but he'll rule in peace. He'll represent the kingdom of his Father. He'll establish the kingdom of God. He'll disarm the principalities and powers and bring down all opposition to his Father's kingdom. But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" It's a logical question, right? But the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." That's a revelation. That's a fundamental truth that it's good for us to pay attention to. The whole work of salvation is a work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the first agent of this work of redemption. The Holy Spirit is upon Jesus. The whole work of salvation is the work of the Son and the Holy Spirit in particular. And the Holy Spirit's work in us, the Holy Spirit overshadows us. All those who are baptized into Christ, the power of the Most High comes upon us so that we can do the impossible. And that is to become saints, to become children of God, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to do his work, to proclaim his gospel, to perform signs and wonders, as he said his children would do, those who are baptized into Christ. Why? Because of our own personal excellence? No, because the power of the Most High has overshadowed us. The Holy Spirit, the Holy One of God, is given to us. This is why Jesus died on a cross, to make it possible for us to become temples of the living God. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, you know, she's conceived the woman that was barren, just like the story of Abraham and Sarah, right? The Lord came to Abraham, our father in faith, and he promised to make his wife would bear a child. Well, she was barren, and they were of old age. God worked a miracle, and he brings fertility and life to what was once barren. He brings dead things to life. And he said, "Nothing is impossible with God." These are the kind of phrases and words that we should internalize. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's overshadowed me. Be not afraid. Nothing is impossible with God. That's what this season is about, to be able to proclaim that, to believe it, to live in it, and to walk in it. Mary said, "Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord." And here's the response that we want to take away. "I am the servant of the Lord. If the Lord says it, may it be done unto me according to thy word." What he says is true. If he said it, I believe it. And if I believe it, it will come to be, because I'm cooperating with the promises, the person, and the power of God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we need to live by faith, live by hope, and walk in love. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.